Begin the current daf Masechta Bamitzia daf Lamadal. Begin on the bottom of the daf Lamad Gimel Beis, four lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we opened up the third parak of Masechta Bamitzia, parak HaMafkid, discussing one of the concepts in the halacha of a shomer. That is, a shomer chinam, one of the four shomerim, who is watching something of somebody else, a deposit, for free, as a favor. The halacha is that he's exempt if it gets stolen or lost from him. Now, if it gets stolen or lost from him, he has two options. Either he could take what's called Shvuas HaShomer, which is just to make sure that he wasn't negligent and that he didn't touch it. He has to swear that he didn't do anything that would make him liable. And since it was stolen or lost, which is something that he's exempt for, then he doesn't have to pay regarding the loss. Then if they ever end up finding the thief, the halach is when the thief is caught, he has to pay kefil, double the amount, which is a penalty that he gives to the original owner. But, said the Mishnah, if let's say he decides, no, you know what, I know I'm exempt that it got stolen, but ultimately it was lost in my domain, I'm going to pay up to the owner, I'm not going to swear. If he does that, said the Mishnah, that then if they catch the ganav, the kefil goes to the shomer himself, because once he paid up the owner, he acquired all the rights of the object, and then now the stolen object goes to him, including the kefil that the ganav has to pay. That's what the halacha of the Mishnah said. That halacha, maskev l'Rambacham, Rambacham comes to ask a question on the halacha of our Mishnah. The question is, v'ho ein odem makna davar shaloi b'l'oilam, a person cannot give an acquisition for something that doesn't exist yet, that's not in the world yet. In other words, how could the owner have been makna, acquired the kefil to the shomer, when it wasn't yet liable yet, because it wasn't yet stolen? How could he have given him the rights? When did he give him those rights? How did he give it to him? The only time that they had a transaction between them was when the owner gave the deposit to the shomer. At that point in time, he couldn't have acquired him the kefil because it didn't exist yet. It's a davar shaloi b'l'oilam. So when is it that when it gets stolen from him and he says, okay, you know what, he's paying him up, whenever did he acquire the kefil of the object? That he can't acquire afterwards, that the kefil, it was already stolen. So when exactly does he acquire the kefil? As the Gemara explains, even according to Reb Meir, that he says that a person could give an acquisition of something that doesn't exist yet in the world, which is brought in the third paragraph, second condition of Samach Gimel and Aleph, where if someone tells a woman, Hariat Mekudeshesli, you're engaged to me, on the condition that I become a convert, which doesn't exist yet, he's still a non-Jew. But Reb Meir says that that's a valid condition, which from that you could learn that, but Hanamili, when is that talking about? Kikoin Peiris Dekel, which, for example, if let's say someone that sells the fruits of a palm tree, which the fruits didn't come out yet, which is actually Machlikas Rav Hunner of Nachman later on the Perkeis of Neshach Tav Samach Vam Beis, if we say such a thing. Now, even if we say that Remei would agree that you say you could be Makna Dovah Shalei B'L'Olam, like for example, selling the fruits of a tree, but that says, the Gemara says, Ram Bachama, that's only things that are Davidi de Asu, that they're normal, the process is that they are ultimately going to come. We know that the fruits, although they don't exist yet, but we know they're going to come. So that's where Remeir would say, potentially, that you could be makna davar shaloi b'l'olam. Avol hacha, but as for Muhammad, in our case, in the halacha of our Mishnah, as we continue on top of Lamadamana Aleph, first of all, mi yemer d'meganva. Who said that it's even going to get stolen, that he should be acquiring to the shomer when he gives over the object, the kefil at that point in time, because as Rashi points out, you have to say it was at the time of when the owner gave the object to the shomer to be maknatim, the kefil at that point in time, because that was the only time that he did a meshicha on that. You have to acquire. How do you acquire? In halacha, we always acquire through transactions. Now, that transaction was the only transaction they ever had, was the mesira, the giving over of the object to him. When he later pays him up, that's not a kinyan. So whenever did he acquire it? Only when they gave it over, but at that point in time, it was a davar shaloi b'l'olam. And moreover, not only was it a davar shaloi b'l'olam, it wasn't even like Peiris Dekel, which at least you know it's going to happen based on the way Hashem made the nature of the world. Here, who said it's ever going to happen? First of all, who said that anyone's ever going to steal it? The imtim tzolem edemegam, and even if you say that it's going to get stolen, miyem edemishtakeh ganav, who says they're going to find the thief? And v'imishtakeh ganav, third of all, even if they're going to find the thief, who said he's going to ever pay the kefil? Because dima maidim iftar. Maybe he's going to admit, which halacha is if you're maidim b'knas, which is the halacha of kefil, it's a biblical penalty. Umiftav, and he's exempt. So who is it that's ever going to come here in the reality to say that he could be maknatim? Because even the opinion that holds you could be maknatim, debash lebel oilam, is only something that vidi da'asu, which you don't have over here. So how do we understand the halacha of the Mishnah that the shomer has acquired the kefil from when it was given over to him, if he's going to ultimately pay it, but in what way was the owner being maknatim, the kefil? How could he have been maknatim if at that point in time it was a debash lebel oilam? So Amar Rava, he says, Nasa ka'imrlai. It's as if the owner told the shomer at the time that he gave him over this object that he wanted him to watch, which, in other words, it's a given to the Rabbanan that it's preferable to the owner that he should be confident in getting his principal back on the condition that the doubtful kefil, which will ultimately come, should go to the shomer. So therefore, what Rava is coming to explain, what the halacha of the Mishnah was saying, is that it's as if when he gave him over the object, it's as if he was telling him that if likasha tignif, v'tirtze v'tashlimeini, that if it gets stolen and you want to and you're going to pay me the principal instead of getting out of it like you could have by swearing, then, and again, this is what we assume, it's like he's saying because he wants his principal more than any doubtful kefil, hare perasi kanuya loch me'achshav. So it's as if my cow is acquired to you from now when I'm giving you over this thing to watch. So it's like, that's what it's like right now. If he's going to ultimately pay, it's like right now you own this cow. So it comes out retroactively. When a thief steals this object from the shomer, that it was owned by the shomer. Now that is not a problem because the cow is a davar habala olam. That he's giving it to him right now. Moreover than the kefil he gets because it was his cow. When his cow was stolen by someone else, he gets the kefil. So it's not a difficulty how he gets the kefil. He gets the kefil because it's his cow. How is it his cow? Because the owner gives it to him when he's giving him over the thing to watch. Which is that it's like he's saying this added part of the story. Saying, hey, I want you to watch this cow for me. Now, additionally, it's as if he's saying, I want this cow back. Make sure I get it back. If it gets stolen, I want it back. So essentially he's saying that if it gets stolen and you could really exempt yourself and you decide you're going to pay me, it's like as if this cow is yours right now. It's like you sold, like I sold it to, like you already paid. If you're going to pay me, it's like your cow right now. So that's how he gets the kefil again because it's his cow and that the owner could be mocking him to the cow because the cow is a davar habala olam. Now, this interpretation of Rava, maskev lo Reb Zeir. Zeir Rava asks on this and he says, "E hachi, if that's the case, where it comes out the way Rava was explaining, that when they originally did the original Masira, when the owner who was going on vacation gave him the cow to watch, it was at that point in time that he gets the right, so it's like as if he owns it, if he ends up paying for it when it gets stolen, so it's like the shomer is from that first moment, then afila gizaseh v'lo deseh nami, then even the shearings of the wool, or the children that the animal had from the moment that it came to him to watch it, those should belong to him. Because since ultimately it was stolen, let's say a few months later, and he was agreeable and he paid for it, so it comes out the way Rav explained it retroactively, it was his at the moment it was given to him. So Alamatanya, why do we learn then in the Braisa that says that although the kefil is his if he ultimately pays for it, like we learned in the Mishnah, but says that the Braisa, chutz migizei se'avlo deseh, but it's not his in regards to the shearings of the wool and the children. Why? Retroactively, it's his from the moment that it was given over to him. So all those months till it was stolen, it comes out, all those shearings of the wool and all the children belong to the shomer. Why doesn't he get it? So Elam Amar Reb Zeir. Rather, Reb Zeir says a different interpretation. Says, Nasi ka'imer loy. Yes, it's basically the same interpretation as Rava, but it's as if he's saying to him that also chutz megizah se'avlo deseh, but that it's besides the shearings of the wool and the children. So it's like, yes, it's going to be yours retroactively when I'm giving over to you right now, and it's through that mesira that he's giving him over the cow, but not for everything, for the kefil, but not for the shearings of the wool and the children. Now, that the Gemara's question is, but of my Pascha, how did you see fit to define that, because this is all based on what we're assuming is going on in the person's head, because he wants to get his principal back. So how can you explain that generally a person's intention is to acquire the kefil to the shomer if it's going to come to that point, but he's not going to intend to give him over the vlodis and the gizis? Why the difference? If he wants the principal so much and he's willing to say, okay, it's like it's yours because you're going to pay me back my principal from the moment that I gave it to you, so why is it only for kefil purposes and not for gizis and vlodis? because regarding the principle that he's getting back. So he's willing to give up on all the other peripheral stuff. So why is there a difference between kefil and gizam blood is the way Reb Zeir is answering the question. Now the Gemara answers, stama de milsa, generally we could assume that shivcha de asa mi alma, regarding a benefit that comes from external places like kefil, which is something that's beyond, which is related to an external circumstance of a ganav stealing and paying up, that's of an inish demakni. That says the Gemara, that a person would be willing to give away to the Shem and say, oh, you can get it, as long as I get my thing back. I gave you something to watch, I want the principle back. That it would be makni. But shivcha demikufa, but an increase, a benefit that comes from the body of his own animal, which is the vlad, is the children from it, or the shearings of the wool, that loy of an inish demakni. That a person wouldn't be makni because that he considers like his own. He doesn't view that as something extrinsic to the animal. It's something that's from the animal itself, that is not going to be makna, and that's why there's the difference between giz and vlad. There's on the one hand, that the shemir doesn't get, even though he's being makna to him from the time he gives it to him, in contrast to the halacha of our Mishnah regarding the kef. That's one version of Rava with Reb Zeir's question. Ikadami, that those that say that I'm a Rava, Rava said a different interpretation to answer this question. How do we understand the halacha of the Mishnah? How is the Bailam being maknet to the Shomer Kefil, which wasn't Ba'al Olam? And again, the first interpretation of Rava says, because it's like he already acquired to him the animal if he ends up paying from the time of when he gave it to him to watch. Second interpretation of Rava, it says, Nasiko Imaloi. It says, if the owner said to the Shomer at the time when he gives him over the animal to watch, if it gets stolen, and if you're agreeable, and you pay me up, in other words, if you end up paying me the principal, then it's acquired to you, not like the first version, but rather one moment before it's stolen, then the cow is going to be acquired to you, and at that point in time, the cow is still extant, and therefore, he could acquire it to him at that point in time, and therefore, he gets the cow, and therefore then the kefil is his, the shomer is because it's his cow. So therefore, that's something that he could acquire to. So ask the Gemara, what's the difference between these two different versions of Rava? Both of them are essentially saying that how do you give over kefil, if that's something shalei b'lo olam, is because he's giving it over to him through the cow when the cow is still alive, when the cow is still extant. Now, on that, the Gemara says, Ike b'nayu kushad Reb Zeir. The difference between them is, first of all, the question of Reb Zeir. Because according to the second version of Rava, there is no question of Reb Zeir. He said, wait a second, Rava. If you're saying it's his retroactive from the time that he gave it over to him, then why all those shearings and the children in the interim don't go to the Shomer? So therefore, Reb Zeir had to say a little bit differently. But according to the second version of Rava, there's no question because here he's only acquiring it to him a second before it gets stolen. So therefore, from the moment he gave it to him till it got stolen, all the shearings and the children, of course, go to the owner because it wasn't the Shomer. It's only Shomer the moment before it gets stolen. That's one difference between them. And inami dekaima ba'agam. Another difference between these two versions would be if at the moment that it was stolen, it was in a swamp, then that would be a difference. Because according to the second version of Rava, actually then the shomer would not acquire the kefil. Because the moment before it got stolen, it wasn't in his courtyard that his courtyard should acquire for him the cow. And so therefore it's not his. Now, moreover, at that point in time, there was no meshicha. He wasn't doing any transaction. So how could he acquire it from the owner? The owner said, a moment before it gets stolen, it's going to be yours. Now, that's only if at that moment before it gets stolen, he could be kainet. And he can't because it's not in his chatzar. According to the first version, it would be acquired because it's already from the moment when he gave it over to him, which was through a mesira. According to the second version, then in that case, the shomer wouldn't get it. Now, Rashi wonders, but then why, even according to the second version, don't we say that the original meshicha, the drawing over that the shomer did from the owner when he took it to watch, why wouldn't that meshicha help to acquire months later, let's say, at the moment before it gets stolen, to acquire from him? That says Rashi, as the Gemara says, Masechtas Ksubos daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, someone tells his friend, do a meshicha, pull this animal, but I don't want the kinyan to be until after 30 days. That's what's called kalsa kinyan. The acquisition can't take effect on something at such a later distance in time. So therefore, that's not going to work. And therefore, the same thing's here. There's no kinyan the moment before. It's not in his chatzar. It's not doing meshicha. And the meshicha from months before that he took it to watch it can't help for a kinyan to take effect right now. That's the difference between the first version and the second version of Rava. If the shomer will get it, according to the second version, he won't get it in this time. Nothing more continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah. As we mentioned, that if the Shomer Chinam, if it gets stolen from his house, really he could just swear and be exempt. But the Mishnah said, Shilim b'lay rotz lishav v'chula, let's say he pays. He doesn't want this weir. Then, when they find the ganav, the kevel goes to the shomer and not to the owner. On that, Amar b'chibar Abba Amar b'yechnan. He qualifies this halacha and he says, lay shilim shilim mamash. When we said in the Mishnah that he pays, doesn't literally mean to say that he had to pay it, and then when they find the ganav, he's going to get the kevel. Ella rather says Rabbi Yechanan, Kiman sha'amar harini mishalom, as long as he says, I'm going to pay, ava pishlei shilim, even if he doesn't pay, it's already acquired to him the rights of the object, because now the original owner is placated, he's going to get what he wants, which is the principle. And therefore he says, okay, so Mr. Shomer, you can get the kevel, even if he didn't pay it. And then they find the ganav, the kevel is going to go to the shomer. That the Gemara asks, but now we learn in our Mishnah, the words are, as we just quoted, Shilem b'lei rotz lishava. If he pays and he doesn't want to swear. Ask the Gemara, Shilem in, loy Shilem loy. It sounds like if he pays, yes. If he doesn't pay, even if he says he's going to pay, then not, then he doesn't get the kefil. That the Gemara answers, but aim a sefer. Look at the next, the inverse of that. The Mishnah says, Nishba b'lei rotz lishalom. Let's say he swears and he doesn't want to pay, so then he's not going to get the kefil because he swore and he was exempting himself. Says the Gemara, time and delay ratza. Sounds like because he didn't want to pay. Haratza, afal pichlei shilim, but if he wanted to, then even if he didn't pay, then he would get it, which is like a b'yechanan. So rather, elamahol like elamashim, and rather from our Mishnah, obviously you can't infer either way because they're conflicting inferences. It wouldn't be any raya, any proof either way. So the Gemara says, Tani kabar said Rabbi Yechanan, but we have a braisa that says like Rabbi Yechanan, again, where you don't have to actually pay it for the shomer to acquire it. As long as he says he's going to pay, he really acquires the rights to the kefil. As the braisa says, Haseicher par mechaver. Here we're talking about, in our Mishnah we were discussing a shomer chinam, here we're talking about a seicher, which is one of the other four shomer, a guy who's a renter. So a guy rents a cow from his friend, v'nigneva, and then it gets stolen from him. Now as Rashi points out, although essentially a seicher is liable if it gets stolen or lost from him, but if he would want to lie and to swear that it was an einus, something beyond his control, then he would be able to exempt himself through an oath. Now, therefore, when va'amar hala, when the renter does say that it was stolen from him, and he is incriminating himself, he is making himself liable for the principal, which he didn't have to. He could have sworn to exempt himself, albeit through a lie. But when he says, hareini mishalom, ve'eini nishba, that I will pay and I will not swear, where again, that's the point that we're pointing out like Rabbi Yechanan, he doesn't have to actually pay, as long as he says, I'm going to pay and I'm not going to swear, then they find the thief, then the kefil is acquired to the seicher, and misham tashlumi kefil the seicher. They pay the kefil to the seicher. So you see, like Rabbi Yechanan, which is this concept, he doesn't have to actually pay it, as long as he says he's going to pay, then he gets the right to the kefil. So to Omer HaPapa, HaPapa says, this halacha regards to all the dalet shomerim. Now, all the obligations and the exemptions of the four shomerim are learned out from Sukkim, as the Gemara brings later on Perek Hashad, the Tzadi Dalet Mabez. You have a shomer chinam, a guy who's watching it for free, doing a favor. So he swears regarding anything that happened, as long as it wasn't pasheya, negligent, he's going to be exempt. A shoyel, a guy who borrowed, he has all gain, he's not paying for it, he's using this guy's object for free, he has to pay for every situation. A nice sacher and a seicher, a guy who's watching for pay, or a guy who's renting, where both of these have some benefit, so then they're exempt from an einus, which is something beyond their control, but they're liable for geneva aved if it gets stolen or lost. Now, a shoyel actually is exempt if it's what's called mesa machmas malacha, if when he's doing work with the object, which that's what he borrowed it for, if it dies through that, which is the appropriate type of work, then he would also be exempt, because he says, that's what I borrowed it for. And it wasn't, I didn't borrow it just to keep it on the shelf, I borrowed it to use it, and therefore that would be an exemption for him too. So, says Rav Papa, regarding these dalet shomerim, the same halacha that we're discussing up until now, that if there's a way to exempt himself, as the halacha we said in the Mishnah, and he decides not to, rather he pays, that halacha is that we said that he gets the kefil, as like Rabbi Yechanan said before, and he says regarding all the dalet shomerim, as we'll see the qualification of that, is even if he says, I'm going to pay. Again, as we said, he's going to get the kefil. So Rav Papa explains. Says shomer chinam, a guy was watching something for free. Kiven sha'amar pashati, as soon as he says, I was negligent, which that incriminates him, meaning that makes him liable to pay. So now the owner knows he's getting the care and the principal. So machne le kefila. So then it's already automatically acquired to him The kaful would mean, although he's negligent, and therefore someone stole it, so he's liable, but if they end up finding the ganav, he's going to get the kaful. The reason being is because the ibayi put in nafshe b'gneva, because had he wanted to, he could have exempted himself by saying that it was stolen from him. By the fact that he decided to pay, and he didn't even pay it yet, just by saying that he's going to have to pay, which you could say that either by saying, even though I'm not chayiv, I want to pay, or by saying that I'm liable. Either way, he's incriminating himself, but he could have exempted himself. So then the owner's maknet him the kaful. So to shomer sachar, a guy who's watching, who's getting paid to watch. Kimachama nignivo, once he says that it was stolen, which again is incriminating himself because he's chayiv for gneva, so makna lekfela, the owner acquires him the rights to the kaful. Why? Because he moso. Because if he wanted to put an avshe b'shvur mesa, he could have lied. He could have sworn and said that, oh, it broke or died, meaning an einus happened. He would have been exempt. And from the fact that he's not getting out of it, the owner appreciates that, and the owner is going to be mocking him the kefil. Shail, regarding a borrower, sha'oimer harein mishalim, who he says, I'm going to pay. And that says, papa loy makna lekfela. There, the owner does not give him the rights to the kefil by him obligating himself to pay the keren to the owner. Because, but my have a little mifta nafshe. Regarding what could he be exempt himself? What favor are you doing me? Because the owner doesn't have to give the kefil to the shomer. He does it because it's like, as we mentioned before, he's happy. He's like, I just want my thing back. And I know you could exempt yourself. And from the fact you're not and you're giving me the keren, so fine, I'll let you take this shvach that comes mi'almo, that comes from elsewhere, that this suffic kefil. I'll let you have it. But that's only if he's doing the owner a favor. A shayel, what type of favor? How could he be exempted himself that he's going out of his way and giving the keren to the owner? But meisa machmas malacha, that he could have said that it died as it was doing work, meaning, and that he could have exempted himself. But meisa machmas malacha leishchiach, it's not common. It's, in other words, that don't tell me like you're doing me something and give me a favor that you could have exempted yourself. That's not something that's common to say that that's even something that you should have said and that you could have said. It's not so common, and therefore that's not something as if you're doing me a favor. Therefore, he's not makdim to the kefil. That's the first version of Rapapa. Ikadami, there are those that say, I'm Rapapa, a different version. No, that shoyl nami, even the borrower, kivin sha'am harein mishalim, once he says I'm going to pay, makni likfela, the owner is acquiring to him the kefil. Because not like the first version, because if he wanted, he could have exempted himself by saying he died through the work, and he didn't, and therefore he's making himself liable, therefore he's mocking him to the kefil. Now, on that, Omalei Rav Zvid, Rav Zvid said to Rav Papa, but Hachi Om Abaya. Abaya disagrees, and he says, Shoyel Ad Sheyishal. Regarding a borrower, he does not get the kefil until he actually pays for it. Meaning, although we said regarding all the other shomrim, not only is he going to get the kefil if he pays for it, but even if he says he's going to pay for it, he gets the kefil. And that says Abaya, even if you want to say that the shoyel will also get it, he'll be makna likfela, but it's not enough that he says he's going to pay, it's only when he actually pays it. My time, what's the reason? Hoyel v'chala no shaloy, since the shoyel, all the benefit is his, meaning because he gets to do work with something from somebody else without paying a penny for it. So b'diburo, with just words that he says, I'm going to pay, so then the owner does not acquire to him kefela, the kefil, because you're not doing me any favor by saying you're going to pay me. Because it was incumbent upon you to appease me, because I did you a favor, I lent you something for free. Now, I know halacha exempts you, but if you're going to pay me, fine, then I'll be makni the kefela. Just telling me you're going to pay me, of course you should be doing that. You should definitely be appeasing me. I did you a favor, I lent you something for free, I didn't charge you a penny. So therefore, that's what Abaye says, that even by Shayel, that will he'll be makna the kefela, but it's only until he pays, but not if he just says. Says the Gemara, Tanika Vasei Rav Zvid, we have a Brisa that supports Rav Zvid that said like Abaya, that it's only by a Shayel if he actually pays. The Brisa says, HaShayel par mechaver v'nignim, if someone borrows a cow from his friend and it gets stolen. V'kidim HaShayel v'shilem, and then the borrower goes right away beforehand and he goes and he pays. But then they find the thief who actually stole it from the shayel. Misham tashlumi kefil the shayel. So then they pay kefil to the shayel, which is like Rabbi Zid said, which is by the shayel, although he'll get the kefil, but it's only if he goes and he pays for it. So the Gemara says, Lishna kamadi Rapapa. So we have two different versions of Rapapa. According to the first version of Rapapa, so vadi lo have it to yufta. It's not a refutation from this Brisa on his interpretation. I mean, what would we think the refutation would be? Because since the reason of Rav Papa was that, what do you mean? The shoyel could not have exempted himself. Because what? The only way the shoyel could exempt himself is meisa machmas malacha, that it died through the work. Now, as Rav Papa himself said, that's not a common thing to happen, but that's not a thing that he could have really, quote, exempted himself with. So therefore, even if he goes and he pays for it beforehand, still Rav Papa should hold that the owner is now going to be makhnim the kfeila, and therefore that's difficult on Rav Papa, because here the Braisa says clearly that the shoel will get the kefil when he pays for it. And that is what the Gemara is saying, that no, that's not a refutation on the first version of Rav Papa, because he could tell you, I was only talking about regarding when he says I'm going to pay. Which that's what Rav Papa was differentiating, saying all the other shoelim, when he says he's going to pay, he gets the kefil. In contrast to the shoel, when he just says he's going to pay, he doesn't get the kefil. But I never said anything regarding that, even, but that when he actually does pay, that says Rav Papa in the first version, when he actually pays, and then I agree that the shoel will get the kefil, which is exactly like the braisa. But says the Gemara, l'lishna basra le'metava to yufte. But seemingly it would be a refutation on the second version of Rav Papa, because here we have the braisa says that it's only when the shoel actually pays for it, that's when he gets it, and it's not enough when he just says, I'm going to pay for it. Whereas in the second version, Rav Papa said that the shoel is just like all the other shoelim. When he just says, I'm going to pay, he gets the kefil. And here we see clearly that he has to actually pay for it, like Zvid had said, not like Rav Papa. Then Amalek Rav Papa would tell you that no. Is this braisa any stronger of and a question than the Mishnah itself? Where Diktani Shilim, we quoted the halacha of the Mishnah that said, Shilim b'leirotz lishava. If the shoel chinam wants to pay and he doesn't swear. Now, v'kimna b'amar. How did we start off the Gemara? We said with Rabbi Yechanan that he says, even if he just says, even though the words in the Mishnah are Shilim, but it doesn't mean, like Rabbi Yechanan says, Shilim Mamish, as long as he says, I want to pay. So says Rav Papa, Hachanami Ba'am here also, although the Braisa says that the Shoel, when he pays for it, then he gets a kefil. Okay, it doesn't mean literally pay. It means that he says he's going to pay. Now that the Gemara says, but me, dummy, can you compare this Braisa to the Mishnah? Hasam Lekatani Kidim. In the Mishnah, it doesn't say Kidim, that he prefaced, like he went, as if he did something beforehand. Hachi Ketani Kidim. Here it says, but he went and he did beforehand. It sounds like that, what did he do? It's a verbal, is just, there's nothing that you have to do. It sounds like they went and he actually paid. But the Gemara says, no, my Kidim, Kidim Ba'amah. What does it mean that he went beforehand, before they caught the Ganav, that the Shoel went and he was Mishalim? It means he went and he said that I'm going to pay, but doesn't have to mean that he actually paid it. No, but that the Gemara asked, but Hamidik Tani, but the fact that the Tana of the previous Braisa, Gabi Seicher, in regards to the Allah of his Seicher, it says, for Amar, that he says, meaning when we brought a Braisa, we said, Tani Gabi Seicher B'yechna, we brought a Braisa like a B'yechna, where it said that if someone rents a cow from his friend, and it gets stolen from him, and for Amar Allah, he says, Harein Misham Ben Nish, but we brought the right to B'yechna's Allah, that it's not just to say, there the words used for the Seicher was, for Amar, it says, and that he says. V'gabi shoyil kidim. Now contrast that with this other brice that we brought. When we said kanika v'seid the Rav Zvid. The words by the shoyil is, doesn't say v'amar, it says kidim, that he went beforehand. Shemamina dafka ketani. So obviously, why did it change the word? Why did that other brice, when it spoke about the seicher, meaning one of the other shoyimim, it used the words v'amar, which, okay, that's clearly like the halacha that it's enough just to say, but why by shoyil didn't it say that? It said kidim, which that seemingly is like Rav Zvid, not like the second version of Rav Papa, that it's not enough just to say, you have to actually pay. On that, the Gemara answers, midi gabe adodi tanya, were these two brises taught one next to the other to say that there's a change in terminology? That brisa spoke of Amar, but this other brisa also means of Amar here. The fact that he says kidim, it's kidim Amar. Why did it say differently? They're two different tanoim. They're not related one with the other. If it would have been the same tana, by one he says v'amah, other one says kidim, okay, that would be a good contrast to say, must be that's someone literally paying. But here they weren't said one next to the other. But on this point, the Gemara says, no, it is a refutation of the second version of Rav Papa. Kashaylinu, the Bnei HaYeshiva, the students in the yeshiva, asked l'tanoi, to those who would teach, who knew very well the brises and the Tosefta's, the Be'er Chia, with the Be'er Baishia, the brises of Reb Chia and Reb Baishia, which they were the primary brises, as the Gemara says in general, as it says in Chulun Kof Memalv Manalv, any brise that wasn't taught in the yeshiva Reb Baishia and Reb Chia, you can't ask a question from that in the Beis HaMedrash. So they asked those who knew the brises of Reb Chia and Reb Baishia, and they said, Gabi HaDodei Tanin. Now these two brises were actually taught one next to the other. It was talking about the Dalet Shemim. And regarding the Seicher, it said, Va'amar. Regarding the shoel, which was taught right next to it, it said kidim, and therefore it is clear that there is a change in terminology, obviously to say like Rav Zvid, like Abaya, that you have to actually pay it by the shoel, even though the shoel will get kefil, but it's only if, it's not enough with the bur ba'am, it's only if he actually pays for it, in contrast to the other shoelim, where it's enough just to say, again, not like the second version of Rav Papa, who said that even a shoel is like the other shoelim, and it'll get the kefil, even if he just says, I'm going to pay, obviously we see not like him. Now the Gemara continues in a related discussion regarding this halacha. The Gemara says, Pshita, it's obvious. Amar eini mishalom. If let's say the shomer says, I'm not going to pay. I'm not chayiv, I'm not going to pay. V'chazav amar eini mishalom. Then he changes his mind. He says, no, you know what? I'm going to pay. I'm going to pay. I know I can exempt myself. I don't want to take a shul. I'm going to pay. Says the Gemara, Hakam Arin Mishalom. So it says I'm going to pay. So if it says he's going to pay, see back to the classic halacha. If someone says Arin Mishalom, if they find the ganav now, so then the kefil goes to the shomer because he agreed to pay. Elo Amarin Mishalom. But now the Gemara has a whole list of questions, however, where it's not clear what the halacha would be regarding this halacha. Let's say he says I'm going to pay. Then as we continue to Amid Beis, V'chazva Amarin Mishalom. But then he says no, I'm not going to pay. My what's the halacha in this case? As the Gemara explains the question. Do we say, so he's retracting. If he's retracting, so he's not going to pay. So then he doesn't get the kefil. And then when we find the ganav, it's not going to go to him, it's going to go to the owner. No, or maybe b'milsei koin. No, he's committed. He said he's going to pay, he's going to pay. He's just trying to push him away, push him off to say, maybe he doesn't have the money, maybe he's not ready yet. In other words, although he's saying, I'm not going to pay, it's not that he's not going to pay. He's going to pay, and therefore, he is going to get the kefil, the shomer. It's just that he's trying to use a delay tactic. That's the question. Another question. Let's say he says that I'm going to pay. And then he dies. And he doesn't get a chance to pay before he's dead. Now his sons say, we are not paying. My, what's the halacha in that situation? As Zigmar explains. Do we say that the children retracted? I mean, the father had the option of paying or exempting himself. Father gave a verbal commitment, I'm going to pay. And therefore, he should get the kefil. But the children who are in charge of the estate now, they say, no, we're not going with that verbal commitment. We're not paying. We're going to exempt ourselves. So they're retracting. If they're retracting, so now if they find the ganav, the kefil does not go to them to the estate. It goes to the original owner. Aydilma, or maybe no, but musadavu in kaimi. No, they're maintaining the commitments of their father. Again, the same idea as the previous question, but they're just trying to delay the payment, and then they say, oh, we're not paying, but really they plan on it. So that's the question, do they get the kefil or not? Another question. Shilmu vanim. Let's say the father didn't get a chance to even say I'm going to pay before he died. And then the children do pay. My, what's halacha? So what's the question? So the Gemara explains. Matzi amalahu, could the original owner tell the children of this guy, of the shomer? When was I being makne kefil? As the Rabban assumed, that's what the owner does when he gets his principal back. That he's makne the kefil to the shomer. That was only la'avucha in the overly na'ech nafshoy. That was to your father, who he did me many favors. He watched this thing for me. He's a good friend of mine. So I told him, I go, look, you know, you're doing me this favor. If it gets stolen and you pay me for the principal, you know, you'll be able to get the kefil. Leditchulai, but for you, the children, that I don't have that type of operation with you, that even if you pay me the kefil, the karen as you are, but I'm not mocking you to the kefil because you're not acquaintances of mine as your father was. No, maybe there's no difference. No. The father, his family, if they pay for the karen, then he gives them the kefil. Another question. Shilim lebanim. Let's say the original owner who deposited with this, the shomer, died. And it was stolen from the shomer. Then the shomer says to the children of the guy who gave him the deposit, you know what? I'll pay for it. Or he actually pays for it. My, what's the halacha? So what's the question? The Gemara says, Matsu amrilei, could the children of the owner of the deposit, could they tell the shomer, look, kiakni loch avun kfeila, when did our father acquire for you the kefil? Davadetit lei neich nafshe, because you did favors for him. So he was indebted to you, so he gave you that gain of, like, if you pay him, he'll give you the kefil. Havol nan lididan loy. But for us, you never did us any favors. Our father, you were a friend of, not for us. And therefore, we're not giving you kefil for paying us to care. A demolish, no, maybe there's no difference. No, they follow in their father's footsteps and they maintain that what they had agreed upon with the two fathers, that he's going to give them the kefil, and therefore they'll follow through on that too. Another question. Let's say shilmu banim lebanimai. So we spoke about the children of the shomer and the owner of the deposit. Spoke about the shomer and the children of the owner of the deposit. Now the Gemara wonders, Shilmu ban lebanamai. What's halacha if the children of the shomer paid to the children of the original owner, where both fathers are dead? Now, here, there is no favor on either end, because neither them nor their father did a favor to the children of the owner, and neither did the and neither did the father of the owner, meaning neither did the original owner of the deposit receive a favor from the sons of the shamer. So maybe they don't get kefil. Or maybe that, no, since the two original, the two fathers, were good friends and did favors for each other, so therefore he was makna the kefil, even the children of the owner to the children of the shamer. Another question. Shilim mechza. Let's say the shamer originally, when he had this situation where it was stolen from him, he said, look, I'll pay you half, but not more than that. I'll go halfway. I can really exempt myself totally, but I don't want to pay the whole thing. I'll pay you half. My, what's the halacha? Is he acquired then when they ultimately find the ganav to get half the kefil? So, another question. If you're going to say that, no, you can't get half the kefil. Either you're going to give the whole thing and get the whole kefil, or you're not going to give anything and you get nothing. But then, what's the halacha of shol shtei paris? Let's say he borrowed from him two cows, and they both got stolen. Vishilim achas mehen, and then one of the two were stolen. No, but then the both were stolen, and then he paid him up for one of them. And he says, I'm going to pay one. And he doesn't exempt himself by saying it died because of the work. My, what's the halacha to acquire the kefil of that one cow? Do we say that since he's paying him a whole cow, he acquires the kefil for that cow? Or do you say that since both of them are ultimately one deposit, and he didn't pay for both of them, so then he's not being makna to the kefil because he's losing because of him. He's makna to the kefil usually because I'm not losing from you. You're giving me my principal back. Here you're giving me back the principal for one cow, but I'm still losing from you, Mr. Shimer, because you're not giving me back for the second one too. So maybe that he doesn't. He's not makna to the kefil even for the one cow that he pays him up to care. Another question. Shol min hashutfin v'shilim le'echad mehem. If somebody borrows a cow from partners, and he pays up one of the partners his portion in the partnership, which is half the amount of the value of the cow. My, what's the halacha to acquire the portion of that owner? Do we say that he paid up that guy all his principal? Or do we say, no, that he has to pay up the whole value of the cow, which he didn't because he only paid one of the two partners? Another question. Shutfin sheshalu v'shilim echad mehem. If two partners borrow, meaning the partners are borrowing from someone his cow, and one of the two partners who borrowed, who because it got stolen, he paid up half the value, which is incumbent upon him as a borrower. My, what's the halacha? Could he acquire half the kefil? Do we say that he paid up whatever was incumbent upon him? Or do we say that no, ultimately he didn't pay for the whole cow because it's his other partner that didn't pay? Another question. Shol min ha'isha. Someone borrows from a woman, a wife, a cow that's from nichsi milug, which are properties that the principal is owned by her, but the utility of it, the payers, belong to the husband. So he borrowed the cow from the woman who owns it. Vishilem, then he paid back the cow after it was stolen from him. He could have exempted, he decided not to. He paid back the cow, labala, to the husband. My, what's the halacha to acquire the kefil? Do we say that since the principal is not owned by the husband, so it's not a real legitimate payment, and therefore he didn't acquire kefil? Or do we say that no, since the husband is the caretaker over the wife's estate, he eats the payers, so it's like he's the owner, and therefore it's like he paid back the wife, and therefore he does acquire the kefil. Another question. Isha shashala, a woman that borrows for the utility of the land which she owns, which are her nixi milug, if she borrows a cow, and then it gets stolen, vishilam bala, and then her husband pays up, my watsalocha. Do we say it's as if she paid up because he's the apotropos? Or do we say that no, ultimately she never paid up because the husband paid up and the husband wasn't the shamer, it was only the woman, and therefore they're not going to have the acquisition of the kefil? So Zigmar, take or let it stand, all these questions are not resolved. Now, Rav Huna. Rav Huna continues and he's going back on the halacha of the Mishnah. He's saying that although that we said that in situations when he pays, like we learned, shilam l'ratz lishava, if he pays and he doesn't want to swear, so that's what the Mishnah said. Okay, he could pay. And not only does he pay, he gets the kefil now. So Rav Huna qualifies, says, don't think that this guy could get off the hook, this shamer, who says it got stolen from him, and he's even willing to pay for it. Don't think he's off the hook. Mashbi yinaisi shvua, you still make him take an oath. She'ein b'shusay, that it's actually not in his domain. I mean, this guy's making up a whole story. He comes to the owner and goes, it was stolen. Stolen? And you're a shemechinim, that means you're exempt. So the guy says, don't worry. I'm not going to swear and exempt myself. I feel bad for you. I know I'm exempt, but I'll pay you the value. The guy says, you really paid for me? You really exempt? Yeah, I'll pay for you. So the owner says, you know what? I like you. You're a good guy. I appreciate you being such a shamer. If they ever find the thief, you can get the kefil. That's the halacha of the Mishnah. And that says Rav Huna, no, not so fast. He has to swear the shamer that this is actually what happened. He has a story that's not actually in his home, this deposit. My time, what's the reason? We're concerned that, literal translation means that he laid his eyes on it, meaning maybe he really wants this thing. He was watching this. He kept this in his house for a long time. He really got used to this. He's like, what am I going to do? You know what? I don't want to steal. I'll tell the guy it got stolen. I'll pay him up for it. And it's like I bought it from him. No. This is owned by that guy. So even though you claim it was stolen and you're willing to pay, you have to swear that it's not by you anymore. That says Rav Huna. And this halacha may be. The Gemara asks from a Mishnah Masechta Shavuos. The Mishnah says, "Hamalva es chavera ala mashkin." If someone lends his friend money on collateral, meaning to say the lender lent him a certain amount of money, but he says, how are you going to make sure you're going to pay me up? So the borrower says, I have this pendant, armoire, you can go ahead and take it, it's collateral for the loan. Then the lender lost the collateral. Now there's many different cases in the Bryce, in this Mishnah Masechta Shavuos, describing how much was the collateral, and hence who's claiming who from what, who owes who now. So va'amalai, the lender says to the borrower as follows, Sela hilvasichalav, I had lent you a sela. Now, shekel hayeshava, the mashkin was only worth a half of a sela. Therefore, you still owe me the other half of a sela, another shekel. There's two shekelim in the sela. V'halla oimer loy, the bar says, no, not true. Ke'ela sela hilvasichalav, it's true you lent me a sela, but sela hayeshava, the mashkin that I gave you was also worth a sela, it was worth exactly the amount of the loan. So says the Mishnah Patr, so the borrower is exempt from an oath because there's no what's called Maidim Mixes. He doesn't admit to part of the claim. He's totally denying that he owes him anything because he says that the Mashkin was exactly the amount of the loan. So he totally is exempt. Let's say Sela Hilvasichalim. Let's say lender tells him, I lent you a Sela. Shekel HaYishav. Now, although I lost the collateral, that was only worth a half a Sela. V'halo Imer Loi, and the borrower says that's not true. Ki Ela Sela Hilvasichalim. If it's true, you lent me a Sela. But shleisha dinarim hayeshava, there's four dinarim in a sela, says my mashkin that you lost was worth three quarters of the loan. And therefore, don't tell me it was worth only half the loan, it was only worth a shekel. It's actually worth three dinarim. So says the Mishnah chayiv. So now he has to swear that it was worth three dinarim, and then he pays him the one dinar that he admits to him. Because now he's already made the mikdas. He's admitting to part of the claim, because the malva is claiming a half of a sela, which is the shekel, because one shekel, you're right, you don't owe me because I lost the collateral, but the other half you do owe me. The guy says, not true. I only owe you one dinar, not two dinar, because the mashkin was worth three quarters, not half. So he swears, because he's already admitting to half the claim, and he only pays him up that one dinar. Now let's say it's the reverse, the claims. Let's say the borrower says to the lender, sela hilvisani alav, you lent me a sela on this collateral. And Beis HaYeshava, and the collateral is worth two salam. So now it's the borrower who's claiming from the lender the excess of the money. Whereas Rashi points out, because the Tana of this Mishnah Masechta Shavuos holds that someone who lends on collateral, that Malva who's watching the collateral, is watching the Mashkin, is a Shem Mesachar. He's not watching for free, he's watching for gain. And therefore he has the liability of a Shem Mesachar where he's going to be Chayiv if it gets stolen. So the borrower is claiming, now you owe me money because I gave you collateral and it was worth double the amount of the loan. And the lender says, no, it's not true. I lent you on this collateral a sela, and sela hayishav, the collateral itself is only worth a sela too. So then Pater, so then he's exempt from Mishavur because again, there's no admission to anything that he's chayiv anything because he's saying that we're even Stephen now, we're clear because you don't owe me the loan and I don't owe you the mashkin because they were equal the same amount. Let's say sela hilvisani lav. Let's say the borrower tells the lender, you lent me on the collateral that I gave you a sela. And shnayim hayeshava. And now you owe me because the collateral that you lost was worth two salam. Bahalo imaloi. And the lender says, no, not true. Kela sela hilvisicha lav. It's true I lent you a sela on that mashkin. It's only he dinarim hayeshava. It only was worth five dinarim. So he's admitting to something over here because he's claiming from him eight dinarim. Meaning he's coming from 4 dinarim, because he's saying it was worth 8 dinarim, which was 2 salam, and the loan was only 4 dinarim, was 1 sela, so you owe me 4. The guy's saying, it's not true, what are you talking about? Watch yourself. The mashkin was not worth 8 salam. It wasn't worth 8 dinarim, it wasn't 2 salam. It was only 5 dinarim. So then the malva is liable, first of all, to pay that extra dinar over the four dinarim that the loan was, and then he has to swear, so then he could exempt that he can then exempt himself for the other three dinarim. He has to make a shvuah. My demitzis that the borrower is claiming from him that he's claiming he was actually eight dinarim, not just five dinarim. Now continues the Mishnah, minishba, who swears? Misha pekodin, that's like the one who the deposit is by, meaning referring to the lender. Shema yishvazek, because there's a concern. Because if the borrower would make an oath that he's going to swear, well, I swear it's not true, it wasn't worth as much as you're saying, it was worth this amount. Problem is, then v'yitzi halasa pekodin, you know what's going to happen then? Then the lender's going to say, aha, you're a liar, and I'll prove it to the whole court that you're a liar, because I still have the deposit. I have the collateral. And he takes it out, and everyone sees clearly this borrower was lying. He was claiming it was worth this amount, really was only worth this amount. And he's going to invalidate him from ever being a witness, from ever being trusted ever again. So because of that concern, the one who makes the shvua is the malva, the one who has the pekudin by him, and not the leiva. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, explains the Gemara, ahai. On which halacha of this Mishnah was the end of the Mishnah qualifying by saying, who is the one that takes the shvuah? Which it said is the malva, the one who has the pekudin, and not the leiva. So explains the Gemara. Ilema seifa, if you would think it's going on the end of the Mishnah, which that's what it was coming after, meaning on the case when there's a chiyuv shvuah of the seifa, that we said when the lender's claiming that the mashkin was worth more than the loan. And the lender is agreeing, but not as much as you're saying, and he wants to exempt himself. So in that asked the Gemara, but then the reason why the malva makes the shvua is because it's his shvua to make. He's admitting to partial of the claim, where the borrower is claiming it was, oh, this mashkin that you lost of mine, oh, you only lent me 4 dinarim. That mashkin was worth 8 dinarim, you owe me 4 dinarim. And they say, well, slow down. It was worth 5 dinarim, not 8 dinarim. So why does the Mishnah would have to say that the reason why the malva makes the shvua is because we're concerned he might take out the mashkin and show that this labor was lying and make him puzzle for testimony and for oath? What do you mean? The reason why the malva has to make it is very simple, because he's on the defensive. He's the one that's made the mix of satayin, he's admitting to partial claim. That's why he makes the shvua. Nothing to do because of another additional reason of invalidating the leva. So Ela Mishmul, rather Shmuel says clearly, Aresha must be going then on the Resha, when it's the Malva who's making the claims to the Leiva that the discrepancy is that you owe me, not like the Sefer where the Leiva is saying the discrepancy you owe me. And that has to come up by my Aresha. What do you mean that's going on the Resha? But the Resha, the first case mentioned in the Mishnah, was saying that the Leiva is exempt from taking a Shvuah, because it was when he was claiming that when the Malva was claiming that the loan was a Sela and the Mashkin was only a Shekel, and the Leiva was saying, no, the loan was a Sela and the Mashkin was a Sela. So says the, and that says Shmuel, Asif of the Resha. It was going on the second case of the Resha, meaning the case when there is a Chiv Shvua of the Leiva. Regarding that case is where we said this halacha, where the Seif of the Resha said, Sela hil v'sichalav, the lender says to the Leiva, look, on this Mashkin I lent you a Sela. And Shekel HaYeshava, the Mashkin that I lost was only worth a half a Sela. Where therefore you still owe me half a sela. Bahalo Aimer Loy, and the bar says, no, not true. Kiela sela hil visini alav, it's not true. Yes, you lent me a sela on this collateral. And Shlesha dinar in Hayeshava. But actually, the mashkin was not worth as little as you're saying, only a shekel. It was actually worth 3 dinar. So then chayiv. So then the Mishnah says, so then the leiva, who's admitting to part of the claim, he has to pay that other dinar, he has to take a shvuah that it was worth 3 dinar. And not just 2 dinarim like the lender is claiming, because he's might have mixed a sataina. He's claiming from him a half a sela, meaning 2 dinarim, and he's saying, no, I only owe you 1 dinar, so therefore he has to make a shvua might have mixed. That is what the Gemara explains, what the end of the Mishnah is coming to say. The shvua gabel leivahu, now, really in that halacha, who's supposed to take the oath is the borrower. That's what the end of the Mishnah says. That's what the rabbis come along and say that no, the lender should take the oath. That actually a different type of an oath. If the borrower was making the oath, he would swear that it was only worth 3 dinarim and not just 2. Now that we're switched, turning the tables, it's the lender that's taking the oath. What does he claim? He claims that it was actually worth only a shekel, not 3 dinarim. 2 dinarim, not 3. He swears that it was only worth a shekel, and then he collects a shekel, not just the 1 dinar that the borrower wants to say. He gets 2 dinarim. Now, the reason is because since there is a biblical shvua on the borrower to make a shvua maidu mixes, you can't just exempt him for nothing. Now, but since there is a concept of tikkun olam, we don't want a Jewish person to become invalidated because we're concerned that he might be plotting and making a fool out of him. He's going to invalidate him from being a witness forever because he's going to show that, ha, I really had it. I got you where I wanted you. So the rabbis went and took the shvua from him, but a shvua has to be made because of the bigul shvua, and put it on the lender. Because maybe the borrower is going to take the oath, and then the lender is going to take the deposit to prevent that situation. They went and switched the shvua. That's the halacha in the Mishnah Masech the Shavuos. On that, the Gemara concludes the question on Rav Huna. V'im, and if it is, as we continue to have Lamed Hei Mem Aleph, that Isal Ad Rav Huna, that Rav Huna's halacha is correct, that a shomer, someone who is watching a deposit, when he pays for the value, he swears first that it's not in his domain. So why are we concerned over here in this case that the lender who's claiming that the collateral was stolen from him and he's willing to pay for it? It's just that there's a discrepancy regarding, okay, but you still owe me for the rest of the loan. Why are we concerned that he's going to take it out? And that's why the rabbi said we have to switch the shvur from the labor to the malva. But kivin de mishtabeya malva she'in de b'shusay. But once the lender is already taking an oath that it's not in his domain anymore, because he's essentially a shomer pekan. He's watching the deposit, which is what the mashkin is, and he lost it. You lost it? What do you mean? I know you lent me money. I gave you collateral. What do you mean you lost? I lost it. I'll pay you for it, don't worry. But you still owe me money because it was only worth a shekel, that mashkin. I lent you a sella. So what are we concerned that we say that the loiva doesn't go ahead and take the shumay de miktis? And instead the malva makes it because the malva might pull it out of the hat. How could he pull it out of the hat? He has to first make a shvua as a shomer of the mashkin, which he is like a shomer sachar. Even if he's paying for it, he first has to make a shvua that's not b'shusay. Heichimotzi mapik lo, how could he be going ahead and taking it out to then make a fool and make a psul in the Yisrael from ever being aided and for shvua? So that's why the rabbis required that the leva doesn't take the shvua, but the malva. But it's impossible. According to Rav Huna, there's no such concern because the malva had already made a shvua. He already took an oath that he doesn't have it. That's the question the Gemara has on Rav Huna, and the Gemara in the next daf will go through four different interpretations how to resolve that question on Rav Huna.